Words for Life today is by Reverend Kevin Pedersen of Ormond Anglican Church. His talk title is Promises and Prayers. The introductory Bible reading is Luke 1, verses 5 to 25, and is read by David Suchet. This is the story of Zechariah and the birth of his son, John the Baptist.
In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people."
Now, it's not just a recitation of the Christmas story, isn't it? Imagine some of those details. Zechariah would not believe the angel's word, and so he was unable to speak a word when he came out of the temple. And if we were doing charades this morning and it was your turn, how on earth would you convey that? What kind of gesticulations would you use? Amazing. Well, we're thinking this morning about hope. Thanks, Jen, for your great introduction. We're thinking about hope. Is it time to hope again? That's the question. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good news. Thank you for good news in a world so often filled with bad. Thank you, Lord, for the sending of John the Baptist, that the nation of Israel might rejoice, and we rejoice today. Pray, cause us to heed your message, heed your word to us, not just through the angel, but through John, to heed your word to us through your Son. Help us to be people that not only hear, but do the word. And pray, Lord, make us joyful, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, Luke chapter 1, we're spending the next 4 weeks or so during Advent in Luke, following the development of the Christmas story. Great kids talk today, John. Well, in a world full of bad news, God sends his angel, Gabriel, with good news. Are you ready to hear it? Or has the harshness and the random violence of life crushed all hope out of you so that even when you hear good news, it doesn't go in? There's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world. I don't have to tell you that. Lindsay's come back from Africa and told me there's a famine looming there. A tailings dam bursts and an entire village is washed away. This is the stuff of the nightly news, and our hearts ache because of it. And that's just the world stuff. That's not to mention the personal difficulties and challenges that we deal with, you know, on a day-to-day basis. People lose their jobs. They get sick. Loved ones die. Children hit troubled waters. There are money worries. There are relationship issues. This is very normal, but it always takes us by surprise. And it wears us down. It can drain the life out of us. It can quench the flame of hope, leaning so heavily upon us that we just kind of accept things the way they are and just go on. Is that you? Just sort of continuing, giving up, but, you know, maintaining the kind of action and movement? Is it time to hope again? God is speaking about a promise he's made to his people to come and rescue them, to rescue them from their own folly and the wickedness of others against them. God is speaking. Is it time to hope again this Christmas as we pull out the dusty decorations and try to rekindle the joys of Christmas past? No. No, says Zechariah. No. It's too late for that. He's done with hoping. It's as though he's used it all up, and now there's no hope left. He's making the best of the situation, of course, but it's as though life has somehow passed him by, and he's just kind of waiting for it all to end. Others might hope. That's good. But something within him has died, and there's no reviving it. That's funny, isn't it? That's funny because Zechariah is a priest. And a priest is someone whose job is to deal with the God who can do anything and who's done quite a few anythings that we can only characterize as miracles. Just think back from Zechariah's perspective of the history of God's people Israel, crossing the Red Sea and so on. There's just heaps of stuff that he's done that we would call impossible. Zechariah's job is to deal with the God who said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And so it seems, as we encounter him this morning, going about his business in the temple, that he's not only given up on himself, he's given up on God as well. You see, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth had been hoping for a son, but as we heard this morning, he is an old man, and his wife is well along in years. And so that possibility for them is now over. And so when an angel meets him as he goes about his service in the holy place and announces the good news that he will have a son named John, Zechariah thinks he's got the wrong address. And when the angel says he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth and go before God's people in the spirit and power of Elijah, Zechariah thinks, surely not. He's waited so long for a son. And Israel has waited so long for a Messiah, it's as though the moment has passed. He's too old. And Israel is ruled by that despot Herod, who calls himself the King of the Jews, but he isn't even Jewish. But of course, to think like that is to forget the one we worship. A quick reminder from history might help. Because God had visited another childless couple, another childless old man back in Israel's history. His name was Abraham. Do you remember him? This is how the conversation went that time. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby, and when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing, and so Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, and so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did." Zechariah would have known that story inside out. He would have also known the story about Isaac and Rebekah, who was barren, and the one about Jacob and Rachel, who said to her husband, "Give me a child or I will die." Have you heard those three names before? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That's the way God describes himself, isn't it? He says, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Did you know that they were all childless? Did you know that without the intervention of God in each of those cases, there would be no Israel? Zechariah did. Now, it's one thing to have hope and be disappointed. It's another thing to have an angel standing in front of you announcing the good news and to disbelieve it. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He'll be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." There's so much in this story. Do you know the name Zechariah means God remembers? God remembers. Zechariah. What does he remember? "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son." See, even when he seems to be absent, even when he seems to be neglectful or forgetful or uncaring, even when he seems to be as far away as the moon, he still hears our prayers. God remembers. God remembers. And he's heard the cry of Zechariah's heart, and he's heard the cry of his people for a deliverer. God remembers, Zechariah, and now he's answering. The plight of this dear old couple matches the plight of the nation, doesn't it? Once they had hope, now hope is gone. All that is left is to make the best of what they have. God asked a rhetorical question of Abraham, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Zechariah's answer, "Yes." Today I'm asking you the same question. How do you answer? Are we downcast, worn down by life like Zechariah? God has sent us his angel to announce the good news. Have you heard it? "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Will we respond with faith or unbelief? Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you'll be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Is it time to hope again? The thing I like about this story is the way it ties Zechariah and Elizabeth's personal situation to the state of the nation. God's answer to their prayer was at the same time an answer to the needs of the nation. Their son would be the precursor, the announcer of the Messiah. And even in the face of such specific information from the angel, he would go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. Even in the face of this, a direct follow-on from the last chapter in the Old Testament, here he is building a bridge for Zechariah's faith. Even there he can't see it. It's too hard for him to hear. Let me remind you of that word of God, the last word in the Old Testament, the launching ramp. Think of Evel Knievel, the launching ramp over the buses. Here we go. "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come into his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." And the last words of the Old Testament, "Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left them. But for you, who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you'll go out and leap like calves released from the stall, and then you will trample down the wicked. There'll be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." It should have been familiar to him. What about us? Well, we live in a world where Christians are being increasingly singled out for negative attention. Christianity has gone from being one of the pillars of our society to being suspect and misunderstood. Our increasingly secular society wants to blame religion for all the ills in the world, and our behaviour in the past is not helping us, is it? And so it can be very tempting to give up hope like Zechariah because of personal disappointments or the state of the nation. But has God withdrawn his promises? Has the second coming been cancelled or the Holy Spirit that he poured out on the church withdrawn? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that in spite of Zechariah's unbelief, God's purposes still worked their way out. For when his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favour and taken away my disgrace among the people." In spite of his unbelief and weariness of heart, God still answered his prayer. So as we enter into this Christmas season, keep faith. Remember, Christ is our hope, and he will fulfill all that he has promised, and so we should praise him. Friends, the Lord be with you. Words for